right, brethren, let's go back to Exodus chapter 24. Now, our text shows us the most important event. Our text shows us the most important event in the history of Israel as a nation. This surpassed everything right here. God entered into a covenant with Israel as a political nation, separating them, sanctifying them as His nation. This was important to Israel because by this, Israel was formally set apart as God's holy nation. And this was important to Israel because by this, by God making this covenant with them, after this came worship of God and fellowship with God. And this is a picture, it's a type of the greatest event in the life of a believer. When God comes and makes His everlasting covenant of grace with us. And it's by that covenant that He separates us and makes us His holy people. It's by this covenant that He brings us to worship Christ and worship God in spirit and in truth. It's by this covenant that we actually enter into fellowship with our God through faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. So what I want you to see here is as God, through Moses, made the old covenant with the temporal nation of Israel, in type we behold God through Christ making the new covenant with each of His spiritual elect Israel. You get what I'm saying now? We're going to behold God through Moses make the old covenant with temporal Israel. And in type, that shows us the God through Christ making the new covenant with His elect spiritual Israel. So I've titled this, Beholding the New in the Old. Beholding the New in the Old. Let's begin here in verse 1. The first thing, we behold the new mediator in the old mediator. It says there in verse 1, God said to Moses, Come up unto the Lord, thou and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship ye afar off. And Moses alone shall come near the Lord. But they shall not come nigh, neither shall the people go up with him. And Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. Only Moses was allowed to draw near to God. Why were the other people not allowed? Why were they not allowed to draw near? Every person that God shall save is a sinner by nature. Every person God shall save is a sinner by nature. By not allowing these other children of Israel to draw near, God declares that no sinner, not even those God elected unto salvation, can draw near unto Him while we're guilty before God and while we have a defiled nature. That's what we got from Adam in the garden. In the garden, we sinned. We broke God's law and became guilty before the law. And being born of Adam's corrupt seed, we have a defiled nature. So God has to do something for us to bring us into a relationship with Him. We have to be justified before the law, and we have to be sanctified inwardly. A new man has got to be created, and we have to be separated unto God. God provided this way in the mediator, Christ Jesus. And that's who we see here in Moses. The mediator is the Lord Jesus Christ. Moses alone went up to God, and then Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord. He was a go-between between God and the people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the mediator between God and His people. That's who Christ is. Hebrews 9:15 says, He, speaking of Christ Jesus, He is the mediator of the New Testament. See, we see Moses as the mediator of the Old Covenant. Christ is the mediator of the New. The only way to draw near to God is through Christ Jesus the Lord. He said, I am the way. No man comes to the Father but by me. There's one mediator between God and men, the man Christ Jesus. I've told you this story before, but I had a friend back in Franklin, had to go to court. And he went to court, and he was sitting there, and he didn't see his lawyer. And all these people kept getting up and going up to the judge trying to represent themselves. And that judge was letting them have it. He was telling them, you don't speak the law, you don't understand the law, you've broken the law, you can't represent yourself to me. And he was letting them have it. And so Jay was getting worried. He was getting concerned because he didn't see his lawyer. And pretty soon the judge called his name. And he didn't know, but his lawyer had slipped in a side door and was sitting over here. And his lawyer, before Jay could speak up, his lawyer spoke up and said, I represent him. And the judge didn't call Jay. He called his lawyer to the bench. And he went up, talked to the judge, and the judge said, you're free to go. All sinners one day are going to stand before God, the judge, in his holy courtroom. We're all going to stand there. You don't want to come to God under the covenant of law, trusting your works, without having an advocate. Jesus Christ is the only way to draw near to God and be accepted. He is the one mediator between God and his people. I pray God teach us that, because we can't come any other way. Now, secondly, behold the new living way in which we draw near to God by looking at this old ceremonial way. In this old ceremonial way, we see the new and living way. This was an old dead way. This was an old ceremonial way. But in it, we see a type of the new and living way. He says here in verse 3, Moses came and told the people all the words of the Lord and all the judgments. Now, God is making with Israel a covenant, and this is a covenant he's making with them. It's a covenant of works. All the words of the Lord, when it says all the words of the Lord, that's the Ten Commandments we saw in Exodus 20. And when it says, and all the judgments, that's the statutes we saw from Exodus 21 up to Exodus 23. Now, this was a conditional covenant. This was a covenant of works. Back in Exodus 20, in verse 5, God said, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. You see, this was a covenant of works. There was a condition. God said, if you will, then I will. They had to fulfill their end of the covenant before God would fulfill his end of the covenant. Sadly, ignorantly, the children of Israel did what all unregenerate sinners do. All the people, verse 3 says, all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which the Lord hath said will we do. God heard that. You know what God said about it? You can read it over in Deuteronomy 5, verse 29. God said, oh, that there were such a heart in them that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever. Oh, that they were, that they did have a heart in them. You see, this is what unregenerate sinners do not know. No sinner has ever kept the law of God by our own hands. Not one. Now let that sink in, because this is fundamental. This is 101. This is where we gotta be brought to understand. You and I can't keep the law. God didn't give it for us to keep it, though. Get this now. The law was given only to give the knowledge of sin. That's why it was given. This is God's word. This is God himself speaking. He said, there is none righteous, no, not one. That means there's not one that's ever kept the law. Not one. He said, what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world may become guilty before God. Therefore, by the deeds of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight. For by the law is the knowledge of sin. God gave the law to teach us our sin. He said, whatsoever the law saith. That means whatever the law saith, it's speaking to those who are under the law to shut our mouths in guilt by revealing to us our sin. That's what it was given for. That's why it's called the ministration of death. It's not the ministration of life. It's the ministration of death. That's what it was given for, to kill God's people. And when as Paul said, when the commandment revived, I died. All my righteousness became filthy rags to me. That's the purpose. That's the purpose. Since God's elect can't keep our end of the covenant, since we can't keep that law, God sent forth His Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, to keep our end of the covenant for us. That's the good news. You get that? We couldn't keep the law, so God sent His Son to keep our end of that covenant. To keep the law for us. In eternity, God the Father and God the Son entered into covenant. None of God's elect have a part in this covenant. You don't have a part in this covenant. You don't have a work to do in this covenant, and I don't either. This is a covenant between God the Father and God the Son. God the Father entered covenant to send Christ to be the high priest of His people, to be the sacrifice for His people, to live and die as the representative of His people. And God said to him, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people. That was the covenant God made to Christ. And you know what Christ said to the Father? All the words which the Lord hath said will I do. That's right. This covenant was between them. It wasn't between us. It was between God and His Son. So that's how the new covenant differs from the old covenant. The old covenant was conditioned on the sinner's obedience to the law, and that obedience had to be in thought, word, and deed. You and I have broken the law since you've been sitting here. You haven't thought perfect righteousness since you've been sitting here. Neither have I. God says that clearly in His Word. We're sinners. We're sinners. We drink iniquity like water. How then are we going to be made righteous? Christ made His people righteous. And therefore, this covenant, this everlasting covenant, is a covenant of free grace. It's not of works, it's of grace. Christ came and kept our end of the covenant. So everything Moses did here, after he comes down and he tells them all the words of the law, everything Moses did here is a picture of what Christ did for His people to bring us near to God. Everything Moses did here is a picture of the new and living way, Christ Jesus. Let me show you. All right, verse 4. Moses, it says, Exodus 24:4, Moses wrote all the words of the Lord. In verse 7, it says he wrote them in the book of the covenant. The book of the covenant. You see, he comes down, he tells them the Ten Commandments, he tells them all these judgments, and the people said, we will do this, and so he writes it all down in a book and says, all right, here it is. Here it is in the book. It's written down. But it's a witness right here, written down. Well, brethren, when Christ came to represent His people, Christ didn't write the law down in a book. He didn't write it in a book. He said, I delight to do thy will, O God, yea, thy law is within my heart. See, Christ came forth not like us. Christ came forth holy and without sin. So the law of God was in His heart to do perfectly. He lived perfectly for God. He lived perfectly under the law for God and for His people with perfect faith and fidelity to God. And He kept the whole law in perfect righteousness. And it says, verse 4, Moses rose up early in the morning. Christ said, I must be about my Father's business. Verse 4 says, Moses building an altar under the hill. Now, that altar was the sacrifice, was the altar on which the sacrifice would be laid. Now, Christ is our altar. Go to Hebrews 13, and you'll want to hold your place in Hebrews. We're going to come back there a little later. But Hebrews 13, verse 10, Christ is our altar. Look here. Hebrews 13, 10, we have an altar, whereof they have no right to eat, which serve the tabernacle. Them who are still trying to come to God under the law, they can't partake of this altar. For the body, see the word body, the bodies of those beasts whose blood There's the body, there's the blood. It's brought into the sanctuary, that body of those beasts whose blood is brought into the sanctuary by the high priest for sin, they're burned without the camp. Wherefore Jesus also, that he might sanctify the people with his own blood, suffered without the gate. That's what we're having pictured here in our text, how God's people are sanctified by Christ Jesus. In the incarnation, God prepared a body for Christ. And that body, it says here, talking about the bodies of those beasts whose blood was brought in, Christ's body was the altar on which he made his sacrifice. He's the altar. He's the altar. And this is how he redeemed them that were under the law. You notice Moses built that altar under the hill, that is, under the law. Christ was made of a woman, made under the law, that he might redeem his people from under the law. And then it says here in verse 4, it says Moses built 12 pillars. Now, that shows us that everything Moses did here, he's doing representing the 12 tribes of Israel. He's not representing any of those nations around Israel. He's only representing the 12 tribes of Israel. Christ Jesus came forth, and he did not represent everybody in the world without exception. He represented God's chosen elect Israel. That's who he represented. That's who Christ represented. Now, verse 5. He says, he sent young men of the children of Israel, which offered burnt offerings and sacrificed peace offerings of oxen unto the Lord. Now, these young men represent priests because at this time God had not instituted a priesthood yet. And they're a picture of Christ our high priest. Some people say these were the firstborn of the 12 tribes of Israel. In each tribe there was the firstborn. Christ is the firstborn among many brethren. That's who he is. Now, by this sacrifice, they made a covenant with God. Listen to this from Psalm 50, verse 5. God said, gather my saints together unto me, those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice. So that's what they were doing there. By these sacrifices, they were entering into this covenant with God. But you see, in the new covenant, that's what Christ did for his people. Christ came forth and he fulfilled the new covenant with God on our behalf, not by the blood of bulls and goats, but by his own blood. He sacrificed his body on the altar. He sacrificed himself, and it's his blood that was spilled out to redeem his people, not the blood of bulls and goats. And by sacrificing himself under the justice of God's offended law, he gave the law everything it demanded for his people. The law cannot ask another thing of one of God's elect people. Not another thing. We have completely, totally fulfilled the law in every jot and tittle in the Lord Jesus Christ. Don't you see what good news that is? If you ever are brought to find out that you can't keep it, then that'll be good news. But not till then. Not until then. As long as we're walking around with our chest poked out, some little haughty, arrogant sinner before God, boasting about how we can keep the law, we're rejecting Christ. Because God is pleased with his Son. And God said, hear him. Hear him. Believe on him. And you'll find rest. That's the law of the new covenant. Faith which worketh by love. Faith in Christ. That's the new law of the new covenant. Now, that's what Christ meant when he instituted the Lord's table. You remember the wine represents his blood poured out to fulfill the covenant with God for his people. And so Christ said when he gave them the wine, he said, this is the new testament, the new covenant in my blood. That's what we have pictured here by these sacrifices and peace offerings. Christ made that sacrifice himself on the cross for his people. And so the covenant was fully made by Christ on behalf of his people. And then, with the blood from those sacrifices, we're told in verse 6, Moses took half of the blood, put it in basins, and half of the blood he sprinkled on the altar. There's a work here that had to be done for God and for his people. First of all, we had to be justified before God. That's what's pictured by him sprinkling the blood on the altar. Christ justified his people from our sins, laying down his life for us under the justice of God. That's what's pictured by the blood on the altar. And then the other part of this work to bring us into communion with God and fellowship with God is we have to be sanctified. We have to be set apart, made holy by our Lord Jesus through his blood so that we can have communion with God. Verse 24:7, that's what we see here. He took the book of the covenant. He sprinkled that book with blood too. We'll see that in a moment. And he read in the audience of the people, and they said, all that the Lord had said will we do and be obedient. Now Moses read the words of that covenant. He read all the words of it, and that brought forth a confession from the children of Israel. And they said, we'll keep all the words of this law and be obedient. Well, what does Christ write on our hearts? When the Scripture says the Holy Spirit writes his law on our hearts, what does he write on our hearts? We already had the law, we already had the law written on our hearts. If you read Romans 2, it says the Gentiles have the law written on their hearts. We already had that written on our hearts. What is it he writes on our hearts? He writes the law of faith, the law of righteousness, the law of liberty. He writes the gospel on our heart, revealing to us that Christ already fulfilled the law for us and redeemed us from the curse. And that has entered into God's right hand, and we're seated with him there in heaven. He's our life. He's our righteousness. He's our holiness. By one offering, he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. This is the good news that the Spirit of God reveals to us. And when he does, brethren, we're not brought to say, I'll keep all the law. We're brought to confess our faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's how we keep the law of God, through faith in Christ. That's exactly what Paul meant at the end of Romans 3. He developed that point so well, showing we can't keep the law. And then he said, but God sent his Son to be the propitiation through faith in his blood. And he said then at the end, do we then make void the law by believing on Christ? No, by believing on Christ, we establish the law. And then he said, look at Abraham. He's an example. Abraham lived 430 years before the law at Sinai was ever given. He didn't even have the law. And how did he fulfill it? Through faith in Christ. That's how. So we don't make void the law through faith. We preach this gospel and people say, oh, you're antinomian. You make void the law. No, we don't. This is the only way to establish the law. Christ established it. And we're brought to believe on him and trust him for our righteousness. You get that? That's the gospel. That's the gospel. And so Moses here, he brought them to confess, and then he took the blood and he sprinkled it on the people. Verse 8, he sprinkled it on the people and he said, behold, the blood of the covenant which the Lord hath made with you concerning all these words. Now that ceremonially, in type, it sanctified the children of Israel so God could receive them. But it was God did all this to give you and me a picture. That's all it was. And it pictured that by sprinkling the blood of Christ on us, he purges our conscience from all those dead works so that we can actually now, the law's taken out of the way, so we can actually serve the true and living God. We can have fellowship with God through faith in Christ. And that's what he shows us here. All of this typifies Christ's blood by which we're brought nigh to God. Preacher, can you support that? Can you show me that from Scripture? Hebrews 9. Turn there with me. Hebrews 9. Look at verse 14. He said there, if the blood of bulls and goats and the ashes of a heifer sprinkling the unclean sanctified to the purifying of the flesh. Verse 14. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? Remember Paul said, I'm crucified with Christ now that I might live unto God? We're not living under Moses. We're not living under the law. Christ has fulfilled it. He did this justly. He established it. So he took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross, so that now we can serve the true and living God. And look at this. And for this cause, he, Christ, is the mediator of the New Testament. Now here's the cause. That by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the First Testament, we all sinned in Adam. That was the First Testament. We all became guilty in Adam. All the way up to the time Christ came, all those transgressions, Christ died for his elect, so that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. Now, I want you to get this right here. This is important. This is where a lot of people, they misunderstand this, and so they don't understand God's relationship to that temporal carnal Israel. That first covenant that he made with Israel was not spiritual. It was not eternal. It was a temporal covenant of works. That's what it was. It was promising an earthly, temporal blessing in that temporal land of Canaan. That's all it offered. And God fulfilled it. You can go read Joshua, and he said, through Joshua, he said, what is there that I've not fulfilled? Which of my promises have I not fulfilled to you? He fulfilled everything he promised to Israel in that covenant. Everything. So that's done now. That's over. But it pictured, brethren, the new covenant, and that covenant is spiritual. It is eternal. It promises spiritual blessings in our heavenly inheritance, which is heavenly Canaan. This is an everlasting covenant of grace. Now watch. So it was through death, for where a testament is, where a covenant is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For a testament is only of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it's of no strength at all while the testator liveth. You understand that. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. This is our text we've been looking at. Neither that first covenant was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoken every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which God hath enjoined unto you. Now, what did it picture? I said it pictured the blood of Christ by which we're sanctified. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry, and almost all things are by the law purged with blood. Without the shedding of blood is no remission. Here's the point. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which were figures and types of the true, but he's entered into heaven itself now to appear in the presence of God for us. Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now, once, in the end of the world, hath he appeared, and here's what he came to do, and this is what he did, to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. God said the law wasn't made for a righteous man. If Christ put away your sin, the law has nothing to say to you because you're a righteous man. You can drive from here to San Diego, California, and if you do the speed limit, the law won't say a word to you. Nothing. It's only when you break it that the law's going to say something to you. Well, Christ fulfilled it so the law will not say anything to his people. Not ever. He were righteous in Christ. Look, and as it appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ once entered, he once offered to bear the, was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. All of that we're looking at in our text pictures Christ. So, sinner, don't attempt to come to God under that legal covenant of works. Don't attempt that. Come to God trusting Christ. It's by this new covenant that God makes with us, ordered in all things and sure, David said. That means there's nothing for you and I to do. It's ordered in all things and sure. It's by this covenant that God makes us His. It's by this covenant that He separates us through the blood of Christ and joins us to Him, and we become His. Listen to this from Ezekiel 16:8. When I passed by thee and looked upon thee, behold, thy time was the time of love. And I spread my skirt over thee, the righteousness of Christ. And I covered thy nakedness. Yea, I swear unto thee and entered into a covenant with thee, saith the Lord God, and thou becamest mine. That's how He separates us unto Himself. That's sanctification. We're His and made holy by Him. Now lastly, because Christ did this, I want you to behold our new relationship to God in their old relationship. We're going to hold, now, because Christ accomplished all this for us, we see a type of our new relationship looking at that old, their new old relationship. Look here. The chapter began with the people unable to come near to God. That's how it began. They couldn't come near to God. What about now? Look at verse 9. Then went up Moses and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and they saw the God of Israel. That was a pre-incarnate sight of Christ, because Scripture says no man has seen God and lived. They saw Christ. He's the mediator. And there was under His feet, as it were, a paved work of a sapphire stone, just like you read in Revelation, and as it were the body of heaven in His clearness. And upon the nobles of the children of Israel, upon all these that went there with Moses, God laid not His hand. He received them. He didn't condemn them. He received them. Also, they saw God and did eat and drink in God's presence. Now today, we can draw near to God because Christ has made with us an everlasting covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all our salvation. Now we can draw near. Go back to Hebrews 10. And let me show you. Hebrews 10. Look at verse 15. Well, verse 14 says, by one offering He's perfected forever them that are sanctified. He made us perfectly holy, perfectly set apart by His one offering. That one sacrifice in our text, those one sacrifice peace offerings, the blood justified them, and the same blood sanctified them, didn't it? So by one offering, He justified us and He sanctified us. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is a witness to us. This is what the Holy Spirit teaches us when we're born of God. For after that He had said before, this is the covenant I'll make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I'll put my laws into their hearts. There it is, the law of faith, the law of love. That's what He writes on our heart. And in their minds will I write them. And their sins and iniquities will I remember no more. That's what He writes on our heart. He teaches us there's nothing to be done. Where remission of these is, there's no more offering for sin. And here's what He teaches us. Now therefore, brethren, having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We can draw near by a new and living way, which He hath consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, His flesh. And having a high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart, in full assurance of faith. Why? Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. By the blood of Christ, we've been made holy so we can draw near to God like they did in ceremony and type. So then, when they got there, they saw God and God fed them. They ate in God's presence. So now that we have this, and that pictured acceptance, that pictured fellowship with God, that they could eat and drink in His presence. So now, brethren, because of what Christ has done for us, we're going to come to the Lord's table today. All His saints here that's been sanctified by His blood, who trust Him alone, we're coming to His table. And we're going to eat and drink in His presence. We're going to drink of this unleavened bread, picturing His broken body, which was broken for us. We're going to drink of this shed blood, which He said is the New Testament in my blood. And we're going to do it because He said, do this remembering me. Because He gave us this nearness. We can come to His table now without fear. We have fellowship with God. And as they did that, there was also a picture of us, we're going to eat this table looking for the day Christ returns. And then we're going to see Him. They saw God. We're going to see Christ face to face and be changed into His image. And in that day, we're going to go to the marriage supper of the Lamb and feast with Christ in His kingdom. Isn't that a beautiful picture of how this new covenant is all our standing with God? That's what David said. He's made with me a new covenant, ordered in all things and sure, and this is all my salvation. I'm not looking anywhere else but to Christ. He's done it all. I'm not looking to my hand for anything. He did it all. Can you say that, believer? If so, you're welcome at His table, because His blood has sanctified us and we have fellowship with God. Amen. All right, Brother Rob, you and Kevin, get you to pass out the elements.